Please be seated. They who dwell in the shelter of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today's psalm calls up an image of protection, something like Jesus in a cave in the wilderness in the Gospels, fasting and waiting, to take on the impossible mission of bearing love and truth into the day-to-day of the human world, to be despised and tortured. And in that wilderness that surrounded him, that he knew that his people were made in, he is being made. He waits to face every temptation, and we hear them, to see and act only in the ways of the world are the temptations, clarity about how the world works and what power he as a human has in it, it seems, the things within the constraints of our human living. And notice that every temptation is ultimately a good. There would be a good outcome. Satan must tempt with something compelling to the tempted. And what could you tempt Jesus with? The usual things probably wouldn't work. Financial security for Mary wasn't really going to move Jesus. But authority to do the good, to feed the hungry, to calm his own restless human body, that is a proper temptation for our Jesus. One story in our family of Lent, and poor thing is 40 now and has to hear this every year, I think when my little cousin was 4 or 6, is sitting in her Sunday school class being taught by the priest because it is the first Sunday in Lent. So he is teaching them about keeping a fast. And in their tradition, the expected fast, and everyone was supposed to do it. I think people might not have told all the truth about this, but everyone did it. It was to abstain from animal products. It's actually a pretty complicated concept if you're a child. So they're talking about the things they can have, good teacher that he is, and all these kids have their hands up to talk about, to say a thing they can have. So they are wisely saying things like fruits and vegetables and juices. And then it gets to my family. My little cousin is chosen, and she says with confidence, fish. We really like seafood in our family. And that aunt, her mother, had made an executive decision on behalf of her household to include fish that year. So I think the larger lesson might be just you do you. You do what you need to do. You know what you can do. Temptation is falling short of the true thing, stopping a little short often. It's often not a radical difference. There's often a lot of truth in it. Just a little bit off, but just enough. Somewhere where it matters for you. Now, I'm not standing here suggesting you deprive yourself or cause harm to yourself in this season. It just isn't the point. God is not glorified because you force yourself not to have something, especially if it's a place of real turmoil for you. That kind of discipline might be good for you, and that's great, and we have a nice 40-day frame for you to practice a new habit. But if discipline is harmful for you, and it is for some, remember, that is not necessarily of God. Lent is rather a time in the church of focus, a short time, an amount of time we can focus, to talk about hard things and to do hard things, a special focus particularly on the struggles of the world. The church prays, and you just heard it in the litany, for peace and justice and hope. It disciplines itself to pay attention, especially for those of us who live in peace, to pray for the people that do not live in peace. It is a clear-eyed time in the church. When we see the struggles of the world reflected through the struggles of Jesus, and they are many, so that we will feel compelled by love to act. The Great Litany, which we chanted in procession this morning, is the first liturgy written in English. Have you heard that? The first liturgy written in English. Now, there had been things translated into English before, but written in English. Published in 1544 by Thomas Cranmer, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury at the time. There was not yet a prayer book, so this is before the prayer book. Now, the version we have is modified. It's a little bit more contemporary. It speaks to our community, but the patterns and the themes are the same. He would recognize it. like the reading from Deuteronomy that we just heard that included a liturgy. A liturgy is in that reading. The faithful are to bring the first fruits of their harvest and go to the house of God, wherever that is for them at the time, stand before the priest, put the food in a basket, does that sound familiar, and begin with these words, and maybe we should too. It says, "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor." To remember who they are, where you have come from, and where God stands with you. Litanies have an interesting inscribing effect, a maybe re-inscribing, a writing on our collective hearts, which is what we are doing in Lent as well. We invoke God together. We appeal to God together. It is the church praying and remembering who we are and what we need. Litanies in procession were among the great conflicts of the Reformation, which really do make you wonder about the kind of time they had on their hands back then. But processions, they argued, which look like military or political processions, is that really how we say God is? Should we be a part of that when we say what we are doing is worshiping God? Is God like the powers of this world? The response of those of us that do it is that it is a turning upside down of those ways of military or political power. It is more like a carnival festival, and it is us together, the church, so much greater than any of us alone, the world collectively turned upside down, where we are all the same, we are all equal. We are reminding ourselves what comes from God and what does not. W.E.B. Du Bois wrote A Litany of Atlanta in 1906 after the race massacre, and it is stunning. Naming the fear and sorrow and hope of Black people in the form of traditional Christian litanies, reclaiming dignity with words in that ancient form for all aspects of Black life in a time of violence and despair, acting as if God is listening on behalf of the whole community. As a part of our Lenten practice this year, we are reading a small book together, an old book called Life Together. It's very, very small. Written by the German theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, first published in 1939. It is a very simple book on the surface about the practices of living in a Christian community, written in the shadow of a Germany lumbering towards war and Holocaust when what was being published, what could be published, was being monitored. Bonhoeffer is a pastor of a Christian community and writes this for them. He becomes famous for participating later in an assassination attempt on Hitler, and it's just a few years later. In Life Together, he writes in the very first chapter, "We rise in the morning and give thanks to the Lord of the morning, the one who stands at the door and welcomes us to God's day." In the day of war in Europe, close for them, an embittered Germany emerging from World War I, broken for a generation, remember your history, ordinary people doing what they thought they needed to survive unspeakable things, some wholeheartedly agreeing with the violence and hate they were asked to perpetuate, unspeakable atrocities at home that they were learning about in the newspapers and from their friends, colleagues around the world trying to save Bonhoeffer's life in particular by getting him out of Germany. In that time, he writes, "The Lord of Mourning waits," from Berlin. This is what a litany does as well. Ours and Moses's and Paul's in the reading from the letter of Paul today. The word is very near upon your heart and upon your lips. Call upon the name of God. Litanies orient us to true things. This Lent, it is imperative that we are oriented to true things. The abundance of this creation, God's boundless generosity, the love that awaits us on every side, greater than anxiety and worry, drowning out hatred and lies, truth-seeking and knowing, the Lord of the morning, a way of love that is always there for us among humanity in this human flesh, and gives us power to face the most difficult challenges in the full dignity of our created selves, not in the diminishment of the hate of others projected onto us or alongside us. According to Bonhoeffer, it takes discipline to greet the one who stands at the threshold of every morning and invites us to live it fully and with courage. I invite you to consider your discipline this Lent, your focus. What would it take for this Lent to feel like an experiment in life together? Your life can't wait for the peace of the world to come. And yes, we have a part in that peacemaking. And we are living now in God's glory, in the shelter. So over this weekend, we've been cleaning up and organizing outside, as probably you have, because we're getting these beautiful days. We found a bird's nest and a bicycle helmet in our garage yesterday. Yeah, we figured it out after I had moved it to move it somewhere else, and I saw something in it, and it was a whole bird's nest. We looked up what to do, and we learned that it's a federal crime to move a bird's nest. So we put it back. I think that's how that gets solved. I'm not completely sure. And you couldn't help but notice that it is interesting what we have the courage to protect with the law, isn't it? Like Jesus in his cave, sheltered by God, to prepare to face his ministry among us. Like those eggs covered and waiting as life grows. Like us, standing to bewail the terrors of our lives, of our personal lives, of these times, under these great beams, above the rumble of an organ.